So let's start off with these words, and there are words that are said sometimes that you know nothing good is coming after it. And here it is. Church, we need to talk. All right? And has there ever been a conversation whenever somebody says, hey, we need to talk, that you're just like, oh, this is going to go great, you know? This is going to be fantastic. They're going to tell me how awesome I am. They're going to tell me, you know, like, maybe they're going to give me a raise, you know, or something like that. But anytime somebody, you know, reaches out to me and's like, hey, can we talk? Immediately, my brain just goes, oh, no. Oh, no. What's going on here, you know? We got something we're going to have to deal with. And, you know, at some point in our lives, though, we do have to move into a crucial conversation. We cannot spend our entire lives talking about sports and politics and the weather. And you know what? I can talk sports, politics, and the weather forever like the rest of you. But hey, at some point, we got to move into some more crucial level conversations to where we're talking about things that truly do matter. And so that's why today, I'm just letting you know right up here at the front, we need to talk. And we're going to have a crucial conversation today about something that matters. This is so important. This may be one of the most important messages we give all year long, because this matters that much. We're talking about the rhythm of personal purity. Purity of heart, purity of our eyes. Because we have got to deal with the lust monster that is destroying our culture and destroying our churches. Now, lust is one of those things, it's always around. I mean, I think back, you know, to the story that's told about, you know, a young Bible college student that was, you know, looking to go into the ministry, and he was struggling with this issue and just always having trouble with his eyes wandering and struggling with lust and the thoughts in his heart. And so he decided he would seek out one of the professors at his Bible college, known for his wisdom, known for his godly character. This guy had been there for ages and ages and ages. And so he finally goes and he sits down with his professor. And he says, sir, I got one question. So when am I going to stop struggling with lust? And the professor thought about it for a second, and he said, well, I'm 82 years old, and so I will have to say it is some point after that. Okay, because it's still an issue. I mean, I can think about it, you know, in my younger days, you know, and just the stuff that we all dealt with. It's like, okay, you know what's going to fix it? I'm going to get married. That's going to fix all my problems, you know, whenever it comes to this. And it's just like, well, that's kind of foolish thinking. Because it's just one of those things that is just always around us. It is so prevalent in us. It's so prevalent around us. And here's what I'm convinced of. All right, you ready? As long as you have a pulse, you're going to have some personal battles with sexual temptation. You're going to fight it. And our culture doesn't make it any easier. Let me share just a few things for you to be able to think about here. In the year 2018, this is the last time they did the total up, and I don't know how they count these things, but they did. But here's what they found, that there were 2.3 billion, that's a B, billion, pornographic web pages on the internet. 2.3 billion. And whenever it came to sites that were just specifically dedicated to pornography, 26 million pornographic websites out there on the World Wide Web. And it is a moneymaker. The pornography industry, whenever it comes to its annual revenue is more than the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball combined. And you all know those are money-making machines, right? More than those combined. Pornography industry, it is more than the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC all combined. Now, back in 2010, they tried to figure out, it's like, if somebody was going to try to watch every bit of pornographic material on the internet, how long would it take? And they figured it out. This was in 2010 when, you know, things have gotten a lot worse since then. It would take 4,083,333 days to look at all the pornographic pages on the internet. If you're wondering, that is 11,180 years. It's a lot of content out there. And, you know, one of the things that is kind of disturbing is level of okayness with the content. In fact, one of the things that, you know, whenever they survey people and they ask people to prioritize what they consider to be immoral, most adults put, like, not recycling, okay, like down at the bottom, okay, which makes me feel good, you know. And so, it, you know, they put that down at the bottom. But whenever they ask teens and young adults, they consider not recycling to be more immoral than viewing pornography. It's just okay. It's like breathing. It's just out there. I mean, what's it hurting? The average age of first exposure to internet pornography, 11. 2009, University of Montreal tried to do a, they wanted to do a study. And they wanted to examine the effects of pornography on men. And this is what we said. They said, we started our research seeking men in their 20s who had never consumed pornography. And we couldn't find any. They had to shut the study down. It's church. We need to talk. This is a crucial conversation. This is a difficult fight. So let me state the obvious for all of us who might be a little slow this morning, all right? This is a problem that we are all facing. This is an issue that we have to address because you cannot have healthy spiritual rhythms and ignore sexual purity. Can't do it. You cannot do it. You cannot have healthy spiritual rhythms and ignore this issue. Now, there's somebody watching online, some of y'all in the room, you're already arguing with me in your mind. You probably won't argue with me in person because you don't want to do that, right? But you're arguing in your mind. It's like, listen, Turner, this is really not that big of a deal, okay? You need to calm down, calm your jets just a little bit there, Turner. This doesn't hurt anybody. This is just how I cope. You know, this is private issue. You need, just need to just butt out here, all right? So there's a little saying that I've come across that I just absolutely love, and it's to be unclear is to be unkind, all right? So to be unclear is to be unkind. So I'm going to be very, very kind to you right now by being ultra clear. You're wrong. This is harming you. This is destroying you. And it is hurting others. You know what keeps the pornography industry in business? Sex trafficking. So just by participating in that industry, you are helping to fund the selling of young women for pornographic reasons. So don't tell me this doesn't hurt anybody, because it hurts people. And don't tell me this doesn't hurt you, because they know. Like, one of the things that viewing pornography does is it releases a chemical in your brain called dopamine. This is why you feel like a dope after you do that. And it's addictive. And it's killing you. Is it any wonder that we are in the middle of one of the largest mental health crises our world has ever seen? And just so happens we have more pornography available than ever before. I wonder if those two things could go together. So yeah, this is an issue. So I hope that was kind, okay? Just being crystal clear, this is an issue. And we got to deal with it. And if you're a follower of Jesus, listen, we got no excuse here, all right? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, here's my assumption. You care what he said, and you want to do what he's asked you to do. And so what does Jesus say about this idea of purity, about what we view and where our heart is? Well, listen to him in the most famous sermon he ever preached, Matthew chapter 5. Let's just look at just a real quick section there, verses 27 through 30. This is what he says. He's like, you've heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. He's like, y'all have heard that. That's like in the top 10, right? You know, you don't commit adultery. Thou shalt not do that. He's like, but I say to you, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even if it's your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out. Throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even if it's your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. So hey, let's make sure we're clear here. All right. So let me tell you what Jesus isn't saying. All right. So I want to make sure you're clear on this. What Jesus is not saying is this: if you've already committed adultery in your heart, you might as well go ahead and have an affair with somebody physically. All right. He is not saying that, and I need to know that you heard me say that. So just say he's not saying that. All right. He's not saying that. That is not what he is saying. You know, he's not like saying, oh, that's the same thing. So just, you know, might as well go ahead and do that. Because we know that's not true. We know that physical affairs carry all the stuff that lust carries around with it and more. I mean, it adds in betrayal. It adds in the breaking of promises. It adds in the destroying of a family. It adds in the deeper hurt of a spouse. It does all of those things in addition to the lust. So Jesus's point is this. This is what he's trying to make clear in his message. His point is this: if you think you're sexually perfect and you don't need to repent of sexual sin because you haven't committed physical adultery, think again. That's Jesus's point. He's like, I don't want you just going around just like looking down on people who have, you know, had an affair or committed adultery, and you're like, oh, I don't have any sexual sin to repent of. He's like, nah, you got two eyeballs. And you've got a heart. So yeah, you do. We all have sin that we need to repent of. That's his point. And so what he is saying here, and this is one of those things to where we've got to get down into, you know, what is the literal translation of the Greek that was there? Because you guys remember, you know, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Greek. And so it's been translated into English. And so one of the ways that you can translate this into a more literal phrase is what Jesus says is anyone who looks in order to lust. So you look at a woman in order to lust after her. So it's the purpose. That's what's behind it. So you've got the looking, and then you've got the purpose behind it. Because listen, sexual desire, passion, you know, those kind of things, that is central to being a human being, right? I'll talk about that here in just a second. But the point is, what is the purpose behind the look? That's what it is. He's not saying if you ever notice that, you know, somebody of the opposite sex is attractive and you're like, oh, wow, that's a good-looking person right over there. What he's not saying is like, okay, that's adultery. What he is saying is like, if you see that person and if you allow yourself to linger and if you change your motivation behind it to go to this place of like, well, now I'm going to fantasize. Now I'm going to let my mind go into somewhere else, go to a different place. He's like, that's what I'm talking about. He's like, that's the problem. Now, if you're sitting out there and you're like, well, that's all I'm doing with pornography. No, you're not. Stop it. Don't lie to yourself. All right. You're not just admiring beauty. Okay. And so that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, when the look is connected to this motivation, like that's where the problem becomes. So let's define lust today, because I know that's what you wanted to hear about whenever you walked in this morning. Is everyone's like, I need a definition for lust. What is this? So let's just talk about it. It is an inordinate, intense, unrestrained sexual craving. One author named Maxie Dunham, this is what they said. It is a preoccupation with the object of our desire. Sometimes I need more literal definitions or more figurative definitions. This one helped me. Lust is the athlete's foot of the mind. Okay, so that one helped me out there right there because it's like, oh, that's an itch that never gets completely scratched. Okay, that's what it is. Frederick Buechner, a great Christian writer, this is what he said. He said, listen to this. Lust is the craving for salt by a man who is dying of thirst. It's the craving of salt by a man who is dying of thirst. It's desire that's just out of control. It's a car that's crashing through the guardrails. It's a river that is overflowing its banks. It's excessive. It's demeaning. It's something that dehumanizes. It destroys relationships. It desensitizes us. It isolates us. It violates all proper boundaries. Ephesians 4 says it separates us from the life that God wants for us. And so Jesus says, whenever you look, whenever you lust after another person, whenever you are longing and fantasizing about somebody who doesn't belong to you, nor do you belong to them, when there is no relationship, he's like, you are just using them for your pleasure. And it's selfish. And that's why it's a problem. Is it any wonder then that that's why we feel so isolated and alone? When we continually feed this sinful desire. because ultimately it's selfish. And the more selfish you are, the more isolated you are. It draws you away from other people. So why is this such a deal? Why is this? I mean, I know there's stuff all around us, but I think that maybe one of the reasons why we struggle with this so much is we've just misunderstood the gift that God gave us. Later on in the book of Matthew, Jesus would say this in Matthew chapter 19. He's like, have you not read? Which, don't you always love it when somebody starts off like, haven't you read? You know, it's like, have you not read that the one who made them at the beginning made them male and female? You know, it's like God made human beings as male and female. And this may blow some of y'all's minds, but just stick with me for a second here. That also means that God invented and created sex, right? He did it. It wasn't an accident, okay? And God didn't go, oh, what are you doing? That's not what it was. It was a created thing, a gift. It's a gift from God. It's not a mistake. You know, whenever Eve was brought to Adam, okay, if you remember back in the creation story, so they bring Eve, God brings Eve to Adam. Adam's response to seeing Eve for the first time was not, you know what, I bet she has a wonderful personality. You know, that's not what his response was. You know what his response was? This is what he said. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Let's translate it. Yay, God! You know, hey, look at there. This is amazing. That's what Adam's response was. And so this gift of desire, this longing that we have, it was given by God to be a source of pleasure for us. To be a gift for a lifelong relationship between a husband and a wife. But what sin does and what lust does is it takes that desire and it twists it. And this is what it does. It says that the pleasure is more important than the promise. And it just puts all the focus on the pleasure. And so it's exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And so the lie of lust is this. You can have all the pleasure you want without any promises. And you'll still find fulfillment and no baggage. And some of y'all know far too well that is a lie from the pit of hell. Huge deal. Huge deal. And I think, well, I know, that what we've been through as a society, global society, for the past 2 years has made it even worse. One pornography website in the year 2020 reported a 600% increase in views whenever the lockdowns and the shutdowns started taking place. 600%, my friends. It is a plague in our culture, and it is a plague in the church. 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women admit that they view pornography at least once a month. 64% men, 15% Christian women. People who say they follow Jesus, wrestling, struggling with this. So I got good news for you today, all right? You're like, well, it's about time, Turner, all right? It doesn't have to be this way. It does not have to be this way. You need to take heart. The enticement is rooted in your humanity, but immorality does not have to be your destiny. Enticement, temptation is going to be there, but you, as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian who is powered by the Holy Spirit, immorality does not have to be your destiny. You can, through the power of God, through the power of the Spirit, you are able to say no to the things that you need to say no to and to say yes to the things that you need to say yes to. So what do we do? Well, I love Psalm 119, verse 9. I think this gives us just a great idea. What do we do? How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. We already know the answers. We already know what we need to do. We just simply need to obey and do what is right. So here's what I want to do as we wrap this up. I tend to think in terms of sports, and so I'm always thinking in terms of offense and defense. And if you want to win a game, what do you got to do? You better have a good defense, and you better have a good offense, right? So that's what if you want to win this battle, what do you need? Well, you need a good defense. Okay, we're going to play defense whenever it comes to the idea of sexual temptation. What are we going to do? We're going to play good defense. Let's jump back to Matthew chapter 5. What does Jesus say there in those last couple of verses? He says, so if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to sin, causes you to lust, what does he say? Say it with me. He says, gouge it out. Okay, gouge it out, throw it away. Better for you to enter heaven, you know, to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even if your stronger hand, causes you to sin, what does he say? Cut it off, right? And throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, is Jesus being literal? I hope not, right? You know, it's like, I hope not, or there's going to be a bunch of one-armed cyclopses walking in here next week. Going to have a lot of eye patches next week. No, what is he saying, though? Whatever is necessary for you to set up the appropriate boundaries that you need, you do whatever it takes to stay away from harm. You know, you just do whatever it takes. I find it fascinating that in the Bible, whenever it starts to talk about temptations, often the words that you'll hear is like, you know, run from, flee from, resist temptation, resist the devil, and he will leave you, okay? But you don't want to know what the Bible says whenever it comes to sexual immorality? You want to know the words that it uses there? It's not resist, it's not fight. You don't want to know what it is? Flee! Run away! Get out of there. It's one of those types of sins. It's like, you don't even go, you know what, I'm just going to see if I'm strong enough. Because you're not. Just run away, flee, get away from it. That's playing defense. It's learning to say no to that which is going to entice you. So what does that mean? Well, it's pretty simple, right? We're smart people in the room, right? And so it means on your internet service, you probably need a filter. You're like, well, I don't really struggle with it. You still probably need a filter. Just go ahead and do that because it's pretty easy to find that stuff on accident. Most people stumble across this just searching for something and boom, there it is. It's like, whoa, hey. That's not what I was looking for. So you put a filter on those things. Maybe, you know, if you need to take a further step, it's putting a lock on your browser and to where you've got a friend or somebody that you trust, and it's just like, I need you to set this thing up as strongly as you can. I want passwords that I don't know the answers to, all these things, because I just want this shut completely down. And if you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for your kids, you know, you're doing it for your grandkids, you're doing all these things. You're like, we're just going to lock this down. And it's better to be annoyed having to put in a password because somebody's trying to access a valid website. Better to be annoyed about that than to just let things run free. So we're going to lock our browsers. We're going to put limits on the apps that we have. You can set up parental controls on everything. And you know what? Most of us in the room, we need a parent, all right? And so have somebody set up parental controls on you. You know, it may mean, and this may make some of you uncomfortable, it may mean that there are certain movies, certain TV shows, certain books, you just say, I can't read those things, I can't watch those things. I know it's the most popular show that's been on TV in the last 75 years, but I can't watch it. I can't do that because I know where it's going to let my brain go. I don't even want even a hint of that in my life. And so we do those kind of things. We do all these things. Listen, you're like, well, this just sounds like, you know, weakness. No. Listen. Setting up boundaries isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. That's what it is. We want to fight the battles before we have to fight the battles. So set up the boundaries that you need. Put those in place and have those boundaries there because here's the deal. Temptation will come. Like, well, that's kind of negative. I'll make it positive. I'm positive temptation is going to come. You're going to be faced with it. Martin Luther, you know, the old guy that did the 95 Theses, you know, nailed it to the Wittenberg door. He had a saying, and this is what he said. He said, you can't stop birds from flying around your head, but you can stop them from making nests in your hair. In other words, you can't stop being bombarded with all the kinds of things and all the temptations and all the things that are out there. You can't stop that. It's going to happen. But you can stop them. from making a nest in your hair. You can say, I'm not going to entertain that. You can say, I'm not going to let my heart go there. You do have control over that. Job 31, verse 1, I love this. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. And maybe that's a step you need to take today. That's the defensive step where I'm just going to make a covenant between me and God, and I'm going to say, God, I'm not going to do it. That's defense. But as we all know, because you're Georgia fans, you just don't need a good defense. You also need a good offense. And that's the way you win the game. You got to have a good offense. You got to be able to do that. You need more than defense. You've got to be able to attack and go on the offensive attack and say, I'm going to do the things that I need to do to make sure that I'm putting myself in the position to be able to win this battle. So here's what I do. If you're watching online, you're going to think you're weird, but do it anyway. In the room, everybody, close your eyes, all right? Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. Online, close your eyes, all right? So just close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. Now, with your eyes closed, here's what I'm going to tell you. I just want you to listen to my voice. Whatever you do, as far as it is possible for you, do not think about a pink elephant. I mean, I don't want you to picture a pink elephant in your mind. I don't want you to think about one. I want you to think about the furthest thing from a pink elephant. I want you to completely just disregard this idea of a pink elephant because that's silly. There's no such thing as a pink elephant, only in Dumbo. I think there was one in Dumbo. You know, maybe there was a pink elephant in Dumbo. You know, but do not think. You hear me? Do not think about a pink elephant. Don't you dare do it. All right. Now, everybody open your eyes. What do you see? Okay, it's a pink elephant, right? Why? Well, one, I put it on the screen and I'm cheating. But two, because whenever you tell yourself, hey, don't think about this, don't think about this, don't think about this, don't think about this, you want to know what you do? Yeah, think about it. Is it any wonder that in your attack and trying to overcome, you know, the monster that is lust in our lives sometimes, and you just sit around there just going, oh, don't think lustful thoughts, don't think lustful thoughts, don't think lustful thoughts, don't think lustful thoughts. And it's like, why am I thinking lustful thoughts? You know? Like, well, because that's all you're focused on. What do we need to do? We've got to think about the things that are true and noble and worthy. And so what we want to do is we want to learn to pursue God with everything that we have inside of us. And to allow that to displace, you know, these lustful thoughts and to fill our hearts, to fill our minds, to fill our souls with that which is good and pure, because that's good offense. That's going on the offensive. That's going on the attack. That's James chapter 4, 8, when it says, you come close to God, and God will come close to you. You draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. That is a promise from God himself. Whenever you take steps to say you want to pursue him, that you want to follow him, that you want to just like go after him, he's like, you take that first step, I'm going to come running. I will draw near to you. And so we want to fill our souls with the God-given desires. And so we're not just saying no to something bad. We're also saying yes to God, who is good. And saying, Lord, I want you to fill me with your spirit, to fill me with a love for you, to fill me with a desire to worship you, to serve you with everything, that all things, all other things just grow strangely dim. I want my mind, I want my heart, I want my eyes so fixated on Jesus and who he is that all the things of earth just grow strangely, strangely dim. And I find that I am full of you. Because here's what I know, friends. Emptiness leads to fantasy. Emptiness leads to fantasy. And when you have a void in your life, that's when the fantasies begin. And so we want to fill that void with the things of God. Because hear me, online, listen up, in the room, you hear me. You have a calling. You have a purpose. You have a God who desperately wants a relationship with you and who wants to fill you with all things good, all things pure, all things holy. You have that. He offers that to you. And so reach out and grab hold of him. Because here's what I know, and here's the bottom line. The temptations of this world don't look as good when we're serving the one who is good. You know, I did youth ministry for quite a while, about almost a decade. And we would take kids on mission trips. We would take kids to conferences, camps. And here's what I found is that we would take kids who were struggling with issues like this, struggling with pornography, struggling with, I accidentally went too far with my girlfriend, you know, kind of thing. You want to know what I found? It was amazing. That kids who struggle with pornography, kids who are struggling with going too far with their significant other, never did it on a mission trip. Never really had a problem with it at a church camp. Never really had a problem with it at a CIY conference. Isn't it interesting that whenever we turn our hearts and our eyes, whenever we put our hands to doing God's work, how things tend to just fall into place. And the things that were a struggle before tend to not be such a big struggle. Might be because we need a purpose, right? We need a calling. So my friends, get out there, play some good defense. Set up the right boundaries for you, for your kids, for your grandkids' sake. Set the appropriate boundaries, but don't forget to go on offense and pursue him. Because by the power of Jesus Christ, you can find freedom and forgiveness in all of this. So here's my challenge to you. This may be the most difficult challenge that we lay out. And it's just this. I want you to turn on the light. Sin hides in the darkness. And it's time to turn the light on this important issue. 64% of Christian men, 15% of Christian women. So I know that online, I know in this room that there are some of you who dabble in this, some of you who are addicted to this. I know that. It's time to turn on the light and to say no more. And maybe turning on the light means that there is a sin that you need to confess. And some of you are like, but I've confessed this sin to God. I've confessed this sin to God. I've confessed this sin to God so many times, Adam. Good, keep doing that. He's faithful and just. He will heal you. Or he will forgive you of your sin. But James, brother Jesus, actually has another thing for you. It is confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Could it be, just going to throw this out here, the reason why you've never been able to overcome this is because you've been confessing your sin to God for forgiveness, but you have not confessed your sin to another to experience the healing that you truly need. And so is there a close confidant? Is there someone that you know that you need to turn the light on and say, hey, we need to talk? And I know nothing good comes after somebody saying, hey, we need to talk, and I don't have anything good to say right now. But here's what's going on. Flip the light switch on. Maybe it is you need to go on defense. And you're carrying around in your pocket your biggest source of temptation. And you need to go on defense. I think if Jesus was saying this today, he wouldn't tell us to cut our hand off or, you know, gouge our eye out. I think he would say, throw your iPhone away and get a flip phone. You're like, well, that's awfully extreme. Yeah. But it might be the most beneficial thing you ever do. You need to go on defense. Maybe it's you need to go on offense. And you need to say, you know what, I've got the boundaries set up, but I'm still struggling. And I see today the reason I'm still struggling is because I'm not replacing this. I still have the void. And so now is today I'm making the commitment. I'm going to be in God's word every single day. I'm going to start practicing journaling, reflecting. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start going through just these different things. I'm going to start meeting with a group of people and just developing community. But you're going to go on offense. And say that the void has to be, it has to be filled. Because the emptiness is leading to the fantasy. Maybe, and this is for some of you, maybe you know today that what you're dealing with is not just like something you struggle with, you're dealing with an addiction. And so what you need to do is you need to say, I need professional help. So here's what we offer to you today. If you're in a place and you need help and you need and you're ready to take a next step, this is what your connection card is for. There's a little box there that says other. You check that box, and if you're listen to me, if I'm not talking to you, and you don't feel like you've got an addiction to this, you can just lean out for just a second. But if you feel like this has gone beyond something you just struggle with to something that has a hold of you, you check that box. You tell us to say, I need a counselor. That's all you gotta write. And we know the right people to get you in touch with. And that might be the best thing, the biggest step that you could ever take in your life that will transform you. Have the courage to do that today. Because here's what I want you to know. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you feel you are, you can be set free. This does not have to hold you. This does not have to imprison you for the rest of your life. And you may be struggling today, and the struggle may be leading you to feel shame. But listen to me. I want you to hear me. The fact that you are struggling proves you are not defeated. You hear me? You're struggling. That means you're not defeated. Because when we're defeated, we just give up and we quit. But the fact that you're struggling, the fact that you're fighting, the fact that this is like convicting you and stirring up all kinds of things in you, it proves to you you're not dead yet. You haven't lost this fight yet. And so now it's time to turn to him. And listen, you're like, I've tried all these things, but here's the problem. You can't do this all on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, guiding you, strengthening you, leading you, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I read that one point. It should be in the Bible if it's not, all right? And so it's like the truth of it. Greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. He is stronger than your temptations. He is stronger than you are. And it is through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead can live and reside in you. And that's what you need. And today, to be unclear is to be unkind. So let me be kind one more time. You need Jesus. And you need to get over whatever it is that is holding you back, your pride, your fear, your shame, whatever it is. And you need to say, I want him in my life. And you need to repent. And you need to confess. You need to be baptized. You need all of those things in your life so that you can start over. So that you can be set free from the demon that is holding you captive. So that you can watch him put you back together. So if you're ready to do that today and you're watching online, the website's on the screen. Go fill that out. We'll be in touch. If you're in the room, today's the day. Today is the day. So do not delay. As soon as the service is over, if you've got it on the card, you put it on the card, you drop it off in the bucket, we'll be in touch tomorrow. If you're like, I don't want to wait till tomorrow, I want to talk to you today, I'm right here. I'm right here. So Father God, today we are asking you to do a work inside of us. And God, I know today is a difficult, uncomfortable conversation. But yet it is a necessary conversation. And so today, Father, we are asking that your grace would do its work in us, around us, and through us. And that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that there will be strongholds broken today. People who will walk away, who will say, no more. Today is the day. Today is the day that I say no more. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Lead them to you today, Father, and give them the holy courage they need to step forward. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, and the church says, amen. Amen.